Welcome to AI Patent Watch, the podcast where we break down an exciting AI patent in each episode, what it covers, why it matters, and how it's impacting innovation. Whether you're a patent professional, an AI enthusiast, or an inventor looking for inspiration, you're in the right place. Let's dive into today's AI patent.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back to the show. Today, we're going to be looking at something pretty wild in the world of cybersecurity.
Oh, yeah.
We've got this U.S. patent that describes a system for basically training machines to evaluate cyber threats. Almost like giving them their own digital street smarts.
It's like they're learning to spot the shady characters online, right?
Exactly. And what's really crazy is this isn't science fiction. This is real technology.
Oh, absolutely.
So we're talking about a system that generates what they call cyber threat scores.
Okay.
Think of it kind of like a credit score, but for potential cyber threats.
I see.
The higher the score, the more dangerous the threat.
So this system is designed to deal with the huge problem of information overload in cybersecurity.
Oh, yeah. It's impossible to keep up.
There's just so much data flying around about potential threats that it's way too much for human analysts to handle.
It's like drinking from a fire hose.
Precisely. And that's where this patent comes in.
Okay.
It proposes a solution using machine learning, but with a really interesting twist. Okay, now you've got my attention.
Well, instead of just relying on labeled data, you know, like known malware.
Right.
Which is kind of like trying to catch a criminal just by looking for people wearing black masks.
Uh-huh, okay.
This system uses what it calls votes from multiple sources to evaluate potential threats.
So it's like a digital neighborhood watch where everyone gets to chime in.
Yeah, exactly. We're talking about IP addresses, URLs, suspicious files, anything that could be a red flag.
Okay.
Each source gets to weigh in on whether that indicator is actually malicious or not.
Gotcha.
And here's the really interesting part. These sources can be all sorts of things.
So we're not just talking about like antivirus software or something.
Nope, not at all. It could be security vendors, internal systems within a company, even open source intelligence gathered from public information.
Wow, so it's really casting a wide net.
It is.
Yeah.
But that brings up an important question.
Which is?
How do we know which sources are more trustworthy than others?
Right, because not all sources are created equal.
Exactly. That's where quality metrics come in. This system doesn't treat all votes the same.
Mm.
It learns to tell the difference between a source that's usually accurate and one that might be prone to false alarms.
It's like if you have a group of friends giving you advice.
Yeah.
You know, one friend always has the best recommendations.
Right.
But another one is a little unreliable, so you'd trust the first friend's opinion more.
That's a great analogy. And this system does the same thing in the digital world.
Interesting.
It figures out which sources have a good track record of being right about threats and which ones might jump the gun a bit.
So it's like giving each source a scorecard based on their past performance.
That's one way to think about it. But what's even cooler is how it uses those quality metrics.
Okay.
It's not just about weighting the votes. It's about seeing the bigger picture.
Okay. Now I'm really curious. Tell me more about this bigger picture.
Well, imagine this. You have a normally reliable source that suddenly disagrees with everyone else about a certain indicator.
Okay.
That disagreement, that could actually be a huge red flag. It might mean that this source has picked up on something new, something the others haven't seen yet.
So the system is not just looking at individual votes, it's also looking at the patterns of agreement and disagreement between the sources.
Exactly. It's like it's learning to read between the lines.
That's fascinating. So the system isn't just passively collecting votes, it's actively learning and adapting based on the relationships between these different sources.
He's got it.
Wow. Okay. My mind is officially blown. We've gone from digital street smarts to a full-blown cyber detective agency. But let's be honest, this is all pretty high level.
Sure.
I'm really curious to know how this actually works in practice.
Okay.
You know, how do all these votes and quality checks translate into something that cybersecurity professionals can actually use to fight threats?
That's a great question, and that's actually where we'll pick up in the next part.
Sounds good.
We'll dive into how this system takes all this information and turns it into something that security teams can use on the front lines.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to it.
Me too.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. So last time we left off talking about how this system uses this digital jury of sources to evaluate cyber threats.
Yeah.
And it weighs their votes based on how reliable they are.
Right.
It's crazy stuff. But how does it actually work in practice? Like, how does this actually help security teams, you know, protect against attacks?
Well, think about like a security operations center, you know, SOC.
Okay.
where you have these analysts staring at screens, just constantly bombarded with all these potential threats.
Right.
This system basically acts like a filter, helping them sort through all that noise and focus on the most important things.
Okay, that makes sense, because nobody wants to drown in a sea of alerts.
Yeah, exactly. And that's how it does it.
Okay.
It boils down to generating what they call a cyber threat score for each potential threat.
Okay, so it's like a risk assessment.
Exactly. But it happens really fast, you know, like in the blink of an eye, done by a machine.
So a higher score means a higher risk, right?
Exactly. And that allows the security teams to prioritize their responses. Instead of chasing down every single alert, they can focus on the ones with the highest scores first.
So it's like a triage system.
That's a great way to put it.
For cyber threats.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it helps them, you know, quickly figure out which cases are the most urgent.
That makes a lot of sense, especially in cybersecurity, where every second counts.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. It's all about making the most of those limited resources.
So walk me through this. Let's say a brand new threat pops up, you know, something nobody's ever seen before.
Okay.
How does the system deal with that?
Okay. So let's say, like, a suspicious file is detected on the network, right?
Right.
That file that becomes our threat indicator.
Gotcha.
So the system goes to work first. It gathers votes from the relevant sources.
Okay.
Based on what the file is,
yeah,
and where it was found.
So like if it's an email attachment, it would check with sources that know a lot about email security.
Yeah, exactly.
And phishing and all that.
Right. And then it takes those votes. And this is where the cool stuff happens. It uses all those quality metrics and the patterns. It's learned about how sources agree or disagree.
Okay.
To basically do some calculations.
And the result is the cyber threat score.
Exactly.
Okay.
And then that score is given to the security analyst along with the key information about the threat and which sources contributed to the score.
So it's like giving them a summary.
Yeah, basically it's giving them a much clearer picture of what they're dealing with.
This seems like it would be really helpful.
Oh yeah, definitely.
For analysts. I mean, instead of having to investigate every single alert themselves,
right,
they can focus on the ones that the system is saying are most likely to be dangerous.
Exactly. It's like having this, you know, super smart assistant that can point them in the right direction.
Right.
And the best part is it doesn't just give a score.
Oh, really?
It also provides insights into why a certain threat got that score.
So it explains its reasoning.
Exactly. And that helps the analysts understand, you know, what the system is thinking.
Right.
And make better decisions about how to respond.
So it's not just about automation. It's about helping humans make smarter decisions.
Exactly. It's about augmenting human intelligence.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it is.
But, you know, we've been talking about these sources this whole time. Like,
yeah,
these, you know, abstract things.
Right.
Have you ever thought about what they actually are in the real world?
That's a great point.
It's easy to get lost in the technical stuff and forget that there are, you know, real things behind all these votes and algorithms and all that.
Yeah, exactly. So let's talk about what kinds of sources actually feed into this system.
Okay, yeah, give me the inside scoop.
Okay, so first you have your classic security vendors.
Okay.
These are the companies that specialize in threat intelligence, antivirus software, all that stuff.
Makes sense.
They're constantly monitoring for threats and,
yeah,
you know, developing tools to protect against them.
So they're like the experts.
Yeah, basically.
The veterans of the cybersecurity world.
Yeah, their input is super valuable.
Okay, cool. What else?
But there are also internal sources, like a company's own security information and event management system.
Okay.
You know what they call a SIM?
Right.
It's basically like the company's internal security logs recording all the events that happen on their network and flagging anything that looks suspicious.
So it's like having your own little security team inside your own network.
Exactly. And it doesn't stop there.
No.
This system can even use what's called open source intelligence.
Okay.
Or OSINT.
Okay.
This is publicly available information.
Oh, interesting.
Like threat feeds, you know, research papers, even social media chatter.
Wow.
That could all point to a potential threat.
So it's like this system has eyes and ears everywhere.
Pretty much it's gathering information from all over the place to get a really good picture of what's happening.
That's really impressive. And it's that diversity of sources that makes it so powerful.
Right, because cyber threats are constantly changing.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And the bad guys are always coming up with new tricks.
It's like a never-ending arms race. So we need our defenses to be just as innovative.
Yeah, we need a system that can keep up with the latest threats and learn from new information as it comes in.
And that's what this system does. It's,
yeah,
constantly learning and updating its understanding of what's out there.
It's almost like it's developing its own intuition,
mm-hmm,
you know?
It really is a remarkable piece of engineering, but with any new powerful technology, there are questions about you know, what it means for the future.
Right.
Like, what role will humans play?
Exactly.
You know, we've been talking about how the system helps analysts, but does that mean it's going to replace them altogether?
That's the big question, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's something we'll definitely dig into in the next part of our deep dive.
Okay.
We'll talk about what this technology could mean for the future of cybersecurity.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, how it might change the way we think about human expertise in this field.
All right, folks, get ready for some serious mind-bending stuff in part three, because we're going to tackle those big questions about the future of cybersecurity and the role of human intelligence in a world where machines are becoming more and more sophisticated.
Definitely.
So buckle up and we'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. So we've been really digging deep into this patent that describes the system for generating those cyber threat scores. And last time we ended on a pretty big question.
Yeah.
What happens to all the cybersecurity professionals as these intelligence systems, you know, become more common?
Right. Are human analysts going to go extinct?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Is this the beginning of the end for cybersecurity jobs?
Well, that's a question that's on a lot of people's minds for sure.
Yeah.
But I think we need to remember that technology like this, it's really just a tool at the end of the day.
Okay.
It's not about replacing human expertise. It's about making it even better.
So instead of thinking about like humans versus machines,
yeah,
it's more like humans plus machines.
Exactly. We can work together.
You create a stronger defense against cyber threats.
Right. It's all about collaboration.
Okay. I like that. Like, think about it this way. Even with the best medical imaging technology we have today, doctors are still super important, you know, for diagnosing and treating patients.
Right.
The technology gives them information.
Yeah.
But it's the doctor's experience and judgment that really guides the treatment.
Okay. That's a good analogy.
Yeah. So in cybersecurity, these intelligent systems are like giving analysts superpowers.
Oh, I like that.
You know, they can see patterns and connections that they might miss on their own.
Right.
But it's still up to the human analyst to look at that information and decide what to do.
So the machines are like doing the heavy lifting.
Yeah, they're really good at that.
But the humans are still in control.
Exactly. And that's where human expertise is really valuable. You know, machines are great at processing tons of data.
Yeah, they can handle way more than we can.
And finding potential threats. But they're not so good at things like context and nuance.
Okay.
You know, understanding the intent behind an attack.
So a machine might flag something as suspicious, but a human analyst can look at the bigger picture.
Exactly.
And say, actually, this is probably nothing to worry about.
Right. Like maybe it was just somebody who clicked on the wrong link or forgot their password.
Yeah, things happen.
All the time. And we can't forget about how creative hackers are.
Oh, yeah. They're always coming up with new tricks.
Exactly. They're constantly evolving their tactics and techniques.
So we need humans to keep up.
Yeah. It takes human ingenuity to stay one step ahead.
It's like a game of chess.
That's a good way to put it.
Where the attackers are always making new moves, and we need human minds to, you know, anticipate those moves and figure out how to counter them.
Exactly. And that's why I think human cybersecurity experts, they're going to be important for a long time.
Okay, okay.
Even as these intelligence systems get more and more advanced.
Okay, that's reassuring because this whole conversation has been a lot to take in.
It has.
It's amazing to see how far cybersecurity technology has come.
Oh, yeah.
But it also makes you think about what the future holds.
And this patent actually gives us a glimpse into what that future might look like.
Oh, really? Tell me more. I want to hear about the future of cybersecurity.
Okay, so we've been focusing on how this system identifies threats that are already out there.
Right.
And helps analysts respond to them.
Yeah.
But this technology, it could actually go even further.
Okay. How much further can it go?
Well, imagine a world where cyber attacks are stopped before they even happen.
Wait, are you talking about like pre-crime, like in Minority Report?
Uh-huh. No, not quite like that.
Okay.
But the patent does mention something called semantic graphs.
Okay.
And those can help the system understand the relationships between different pieces of information.
Okay. I'm listening. What are semantic graphs?
So picture a giant web connecting all the information about a cyber threat.
Mm.
You know, IP addresses, domain names, malware samples, even the people behind the attack.
So it's like a family tree for cyber threats?
Yeah, that's a good way to think about it.
Oh.
A semantic graph maps out all those relationships so the system can see the bigger picture and understand the connections that might not be obvious at first.
So how does that help with predicting attacks?
Well, if you can see the patterns and relationships that usually lead up to certain types of attacks, you can start looking for those patterns in real-time data.
So if the system sees a sequence of events
that
has, you know, always led to a certain type of attack in the past, it can warn security teams that something might be about to happen.
Exactly. It's like recognizing the early warning signs of a storm. You know, okay. The more data the system analyzes, the better it gets at spotting those patterns and predicting what might happen next.
Wow, that's incredible. It's like having a crystal ball for cybersecurity.
Yeah, it's pretty powerful stuff. But there are also some potential downsides, you know?
Oh, yeah, like what?
What if the system predicts an attack that never actually happens?
Right.
Could that cause unnecessary panic and disruption?
Yeah, that's a good point.
So we need to be careful about how we develop and deploy this kind of technology.
Right.
It's a powerful tool, and like any tool, it can be used for good or for bad.
So it comes down to humans to use it responsibly.
Exactly.
Well, this has been a really fascinating deep dive.
Yeah.
We've gone from those digital juries and quality metrics to the possibility of predicting cyber attacks using these semantic graphs.
The mind-blowing stuff.
It really is. And I think the big takeaway here is that the future of cybersecurity isn't about choosing between humans and machines.
I agree.
It's about figuring out how to combine the strengths of both.
Exactly.
To create a more secure digital world for everyone.
Well said. And listeners, as always, stay curious, stay informed, and stay engaged in these important conversations about the future of cybersecurity.
Because at the end of the day, the security of our digital world depends on all of us working together.
That's right. Thanks for listening, everybody.
We'll see you next time.
And that's a wrap for this episode of AI Patent Watch. If you found this helpful, please take a moment to leave a 5-star rating and subscribe so you don't miss future episodes. This podcast is curated by Bastian Best, a European patent attorney specializing in AI patents. To learn more about the exciting intersection of patents and AI, sign up for his mailing list for exclusive insights. Link in the show notes. And if you're already working on the next big AI innovation, now's the time to secure your own patent. Reach out to Bastian on LinkedIn or the podcast website to turn your ideas into assets. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned for the next episode of AI Patent Watch.